Thank you very much for joining the community and tutorials track. It's my pleasure to be here. My name is Leon Onabi, and I'm a software engineer. I've been following the Tizen project since its beginning. And today I would like to show, to share with you my experience about porting Tizen to open source hardware devices. This presentation is appropriate for beginners. So don't worry if you do not have experience with hardware. As I told you, I'm a software developer, so I have a poor knowledge about hardware as well. The purpose of my presentation is to show you that you shouldn't be afraid and you should start experimenting with Tizen and to build your own devices. This is the agenda of our talk. First, I'll try to explain what is open source hardware and why is it valuable. After that, I'll provide you a short overview of popular single board computers. My idea is that if you don't have a device, this introduction will help you how to choose a proper device. I would also like to talk about my community-driven project, a project that I've founded, for porting Tizen to Sungsi devices. I have two showcases. It's a do-it-yourself Tizen tablet and do-it-yourself Tizen laptop. I hope you enjoy these showcases. And finally, we will discuss how to port Tizen and how to build Tizen platform images for different hardware devices. So now let's first start with open source hardware. How many of you know this term, open source hardware? Okay, that's good. This makes things easier for me, you know. open source hardware, basically the concept of open source hardware is similar to open source software. The vendor, the developer of the hardware device is supposed to provide all documents, all schematics, all CAD files to other developers so that other people can reproduce similar devices. Open source hardware can be used for both personal and commercial use as well. Of course, open source hardware projects should obey certain licenses. There are a variety of Creative Commons licenses which are applied to most of the open source hardware projects. One very successful open source hardware project that I believe everybody knows is the Arduino. Arduino is a trademark, but the hardware is open source, so other companies can manufacture similar devices under different names. Why should we use open source hardware? In my opinion, open source hardware combined with open source software means independence. For example, it is possible to buy open source hardware components to create an open device. And when I say open, I mean open source software and open source hardware, totally open device. And after that, it is possible to go and to manufacture this device, to modify its hardware. For example, to remove the HDMI or the VGA, and to produce a quality device and to go on manufacturing this. Open source hardware provides great opportunities, business opportunities, because with open source hardware, it is possible for individual developers, the so-called bedroom developers, and small companies to make devices and to make quality devices and to be competitive with big corporations. Open source hardware has another good advantage. The fact that it's open is increasing its quality and increasing its security because other people can see the schematics, can improve them, and can contribute back to the project. Now, I would like to offer you an overview of the single board computers available on the market. Basically, the first step to port Tizen to a device is to have the device, right? So I will show, share with you my personal experience based on this, these ratings. Last month, Linux Gizmos, in association with Linux Foundation, made a survey among its readers to find out the most popular single board computers. Please note that not all of these single board computers are open source. Some of them are open source, others are not open source. I will not discuss which of them are open source hardware and which not, because this is a very sensitive topic. Most of the vendors say that they provide open source hardware, but it's not always like this. Anyway, let's have a look at the statistics. It's not a surprise that on the first place we can see Raspberry Pi Model B. This is definitely the most popular single board computer. It appeared 3 years ago, and I believe that most of the people in this room have Raspberry Pis. Could you please raise your hand if you have one? Okay, this is the majority. Raspberry Pi showed us the way, because this was the first single board computer which had a very good commercial success. Unfortunately, Raspberry Pi have two disadvantages. The first disadvantage is that nowadays its hardware, it's quite old. Basically, it is having the ARMv6 architecture of a processor. These processors are quite old. And if you decide to port Tizen to it, in general, it should be possible to build it, to build a Tizen platform image, but it will require a lot of efforts. And Tizen, in my opinion, most probably will not work very smooth on such an old device. The other disadvantage of Raspberry Pi is the fact that it is completely proprietary hardware. It's not an open source hardware project, which means that if you create a device with Raspberry Pi, it's very difficult to start manufacturing this device or similar devices with it. That's why in open source communities, some people are even making a joke that Raspberry Pi is in fact Closeberry Pi. So the second place is for BeagleBone Black. It's definitely the most popular board according to this survey of Linux Gizmos. But let's look at the general picture. Here we have the first 20 developers' boards. Most of them are very well known. But let's have a look at the statistics. 85% of these boards are with the ARM architecture. 85%. This is one of the few markets where Intel is a step behind its competitors, because only 15%, or this makes 3 boards, are with x86 architecture of their processors. Freescale is having 50% of these boards in this list. Another 15% goes to Samsung. With their processor Exynos. And the majority of the boards in this list are the boards with processors manufactured by a Chinese company called Allwinner. I would like to share with you some facts about Allwinner, because I'm relying on this, I'm using development boards with Allwinner processors. Basically, Allwinner has become number one in shipment of processors for Android devices last year in 2013. And Allwinner supports open source software and hardware. A lot of devices, open source hardware devices, are having Allwinner processors. Allwinner is having a repo at GitHub where everyone can download a fork of the Linux kernel. It's called Linux Sunxi, as well as the U-boot loader, which is required to boot the hardware. The fact that Allwinner is having a lot of Android tablets, in my opinion, is an advantage, because if we manage to make a stable Tizen distribution for Allwinner development boards or Sunxi devices, then we can easily port this, we can easily boot the same image to a lot of Android devices, tablets, Android tablets, which are available on the market as of today. These are a couple of popular budget single board computers which are having Allwinner processors. On the right side, you can see Kubi board. Kubi board is manufactured by Tom Kubi and his friends from China. It has three versions: Kubi board 1, Kubi board 2, and guess what? Kubi board 3, which is also known as Kubi truck. All these boards are having all-winner processors. These are ARMv7 compatible processors, which means that Tizen images can be easily built for them and booted on these devices. On the left side, you can see a device called Olinuxino. This is a family of devices. Most of these devices have all-winner processors, and I'm using these devices. So I'll tell you a short story. I'm coming from Europe, more precisely from Eastern Europe, more precisely from Bulgaria, and more precisely from a town called Plovdiv. This town doesn't have a big IT community, but luckily for me, there is one vendor of hardware devices called Olimex, which is producing open source hardware boards. And believe me, it is very convenient to have a hardware manufacturer in the same time zone next to your apartment, because you can go and get dedicated support when you're booting something on this. This is the only reason why I decided to use primarily Olinuxino for the testing and development platform of my port of Tizen to Sungsi devices. I would like to share with you Tizen Sungsi, and I hope that you like the project, and I hope that new developers will get involved into it. Tizen Sungsi is a community-driven open-source port of Tizen with Linux Sungsi kernel for devices with all-winner chipsets. The most popular chipsets are A10 and A20 as of the moment. On this link at GitHub, you can find instructions how to build Tizen and to boot Tizen, and you can also find ready images that you can download and boot for three boards of the Olinuxino boards. This is A10S Olinuxino, A10 Olinuxino WIME, and A20 Olinuxino WIME. So the idea of the project is that it will be easy for everyone to download, copy an image to a micro SD card on NAND of the device, and to boot Tizen on these Sungsi devices. Now, I would like to show you a couple of showcases. After having a device, what you can do with this device, after having a developer board. The first showcase is a do-it-yourself Tizen tablet. I'm a fan of the do-it-yourself movement, and I hope you enjoy what I did. So the key components about this, you need, first of all, the single board computer. In this case, I'm having an Olinuxino board, but you can use any other board. You need a display. When you are buying a board, please make sure, and if you're planning to make a tablet, please make sure that there is a way to how to attach an LCD display with touchscreen. Basically, I'm buying all these components from the company that I told you because this company is providing these components and they are compatible with each other, so I don't waste time to think how can I get compatible devices. So a single board computer, a display, a power supply, or a battery. So now it's time to show you my tablet. Okay, so please close your eyes. I know that we're in California and there are so many iPad killer devices each week. And today I'm going to show you another one. It's made at home. So imagine the iPad. And now, please, see what I've done. Ta-da! It's having this invisible box, you know. Basically, what you see on the picture is a development board, a bunch of cables, and a display which shows Tizen IVI 2. I forgot to mention that the Tizen Sungsi project, at the moment, the images available at the Tizen Sungsi project are built from existing code available for Panda board of Tizen IVI 2. And right now with Philippe, who's sitting over there, we're working on a port of Tizen Sungsi using the source code of Tizen 3 Common. So soon, images for Tizen 3 Common will be available for direct download, and you can build your own tablet with them. Maybe you're wondering what is the price of this tablet. Basically, the components that I've used cost approximately less than 100 euros. Of course, the shipping also have to be included, but it depends on where you live. Now, another showcase, it's a do-it-yourself Tizen laptop. Here we need more components. A single board computer, again. It is the same single board computer that I've used for the tablet, obviously. A Motorola WAP dock. I don't know if you remember, but several years ago, Motorola was working on this very interesting project for having a smartphone that can be plugged into a lap dock, and the lap dock will and the smartphone will become a laptop. It was a very interesting project in my opinion, but unfortunately it seems that they did not have commercial success. After that, Google bought Nokia, and in my opinion, this lap dock project has been stopped. But luckily for us, there are a lot of lap docks available on eBay on very reasonable prices, so you can buy a Motorola lap dock for less than 100 US dollars. After that, you have to buy a bunch of adapters because this Motorola lap dock is having an HDMI and USB. So basically, the idea is to connect the single board computer with the lap dock over these interfaces. You require an HDMI cable as well as a USB male-to-male cable. You have to cut the white wire, which is responsible for the power supply of this USB male-to-male cable. So basically, the lap dock is bringing everything except the computing power. It has a display, it has a keyboard, and it has a touchpad, plus a battery. So the next thing that you need is to plug this board, and the final result will look like this. This is, again, Tizen Sungsi working on the single board computer with ARM processor or Winner processor in this case, and it's connected to the lap dock. This lap dock can be used with any computer or single board computer available on the market, so it's very easy to build this ARM laptop. And the total price is, again, it's relatively cheap, I guess less than 150 euros, something like this. So now let's go to something more interesting. Let's focus on porting Tizen. First of all, why is it important to port Tizen to new devices? I'll tell you a short story. 5 years ago, in 2009, I was working as a Symbian developer making Symbian applications. And in 2010, Nokia decided to make Symbian open source. I don't know if you remember these times, but in Europe and Asia and Middle East, at this moment, Symbian was still the most popular operating system. They had a very big market share. When Symbian became open source, the company that I work for was helping Nokia with some certain projects related to Symbian, but there was one great problem. The problem that we did not have a device. There were not Nokia was not providing prototype devices, so we were using a lot of mock-up tests. But I have to assure you that there are certain things that test-driven development and mock-up tests cannot do. It's a great thing, but you need a device. That's why it's important to port Tizen to more devices. How to port Tizen to an ARM device? There are four things that you should do. First, you need a Linux-based kernel because Tizen is a software platform based on Linux. After that, you need a bootloader which will instruct the hardware how to boot the kernel. You need to create a Tizen platform image. And finally, you have to set up Tizen on a micro SD card and NAND. My personal experience shows that when you're deciding what kind of board to buy, it's better to buy a board which does not have NAND, only a micro SD card, because it's much simpler to work, and it's very difficult to brick a device that has only that is booting only from a micro SD card. So regarding the Linux kernel and the bootloader, the best way is to see the recommendations by the hardware vendor. For example, Linux Sungsi for and U-Bootloader for devices with OWinner processors. very short instructions about how to create a Tizen platform image. Please note that there are very good resources available online, so you can find all these details there. First of all, you have to set up development environment and install development tools. The supported distributions are Ubuntu, Fedora, OpenSUSE, and CentOS. The Tizen source code is available at Git, so you have to configure Garrett access and Git. After that, you have to download the Tizen source code and to build RPM packages for RV7 compatible boards if you have decided to create a Tizen ARM device. Once you have the RPM packages, you have to use a Kickstarter file and create a Tizen image. So how to set up a Tizen platform image on a micro SD card? First, you have to create four partitions. The first partition is FAT32 partition, and to put on it the Linux Sunxi and the U-boot loader, the kernel, in my case, Linux Sunxi kernel, and the U-boot loader. After that, you have to copy the platform images, and you'll be ready. A few tips and tricks for Sunxi devices. There are two ways how to instruct the device which display to use. The easy way is to use this text file and to set up the parameter about screen output type depending on your display. In the case of the tablet that I've shown you, the value should be 1, and in case of the laptop that I've shown you with the Motorola Think, it's number 3. There is another way which is a bit harder, but more parameters can be set. You can have FX files and to compile them to binary and then to put them on the FAT32 partition of the device, of the micro SD card. One more thing. If you plan to port Tizen on new devices, this is a very useful cable. This is a cable which allows you to debug the boot process as well as the kernel. It's a serial cable which you connect to your computer and you get output on your computer. You can use on Linux, you can use applications such as Screen to monitor the output. At the end of my presentation, I would like to share with you some useful resources. All these resources are publicly available. This is the Getting Started Guide, available at Tizen.org. There are all-in-one instructions for creating Tizen images from scratch. There is another porting guide at our wiki. The address of the wiki is, as you can guess, wiki.tizen.org. And there are a lot of valuable articles there. Please know that each one of you can register and can contribute to the Tizen wiki. Thank you very much for your attention. I hope that you enjoyed this talk, and I'm looking forward to your questions. Right now, not. I have provided the slides to the organizers, but I plan to post them on SlideShare. Of course. The question is about the Git structure of Tizen, right? So basically, more information about the Git structure you'll find out on the next presentation by Philippe. So Tizen has several profiles, as you know. There is a profile for mobile development as well for in-vehicle infotainment, IVI. And there is another Tizen common available. Basically, the idea of this common, it's not exactly a profile, but it's a base, which and it's supposed that the different profiles will be built above this common base. Okay, the question is about the partitions that I've showed during the port of Tizen to hardware devices. Well, basically, first of all, my port, this is based on my experience with the port of Tizen to Sunxi devices. You need these four partitions because the first partition is where you put the Linux kernel and the U-boot loader. I have created these partitions following the guidelines available for the Panda board image of Tizen, and that's why you need the other three partitions because the other three partitions are for the Tizen platform images. And regarding the FAT32 partition, I guess it's very convenient because even people who have a Windows laptop can work, Windows machine can work with this FAT32 partition. Okay. I'll just repeat the question. The question is about whether I have looked the possibilities to port Tizen Sungsi to commercially available tablets with compatible processors, right? Okay. Honestly, not. I do not have yet such kind of a tablet, but this is the next step. Basically, this project, Tizen Sungsi, is very young. I have recently started it, and thanks to Philip, and I hope that other people will join the project. I think that once we have a reasonably working or, let's say, even stable image for Tizen, the next step should be to go for these tablets. In general, all winner devices are famous for being open, so I guess that we can find tablets existing on the market, and this will be a low-end tablets, I guess, pretty cheap tablets, and to boot Tizen on them. Okay, the question is about this cable. I'll share some details about it. Well, this is a cable that is called serial cable F. Basically, the wires that you see over here are attached on the board, on the UART input of the board, and the other plug of the cable, the USB plug, should be connected to a computer. Once this is ready, you have to monitor the serial output on your computer with, for example, screen. This is the most simplest application. It's screen. Okay, the question is about the GPU driver and the Mali. As of the moment, the port that you saw is not using any blobs for Mali. This is another thing that we should get working on it. But at the moment, the thing that you saw, it's a very early stage, so it just boots. A lot of efforts are needed to port and to support the driver. This is one of the things that we have in mind in the roadmap of this community-driven project. The boards that I bought have the same Mali GPU 400 as the RDPQ reference devices, as far as I remember. So I guess this will make the process a little bit more simpler. Okay, so I'll repeat the question. Is information about the minimal hardware kit requirement required to build a Tizen tablet available? This is a very good idea. I haven't made such kind of a article, but maybe we should create a Tizen Wiki article about that. The components that you saw here, for a moment, the components that I've used are both from this Bulgarian company, Onimex, just because they're the best option for me, and I can recommend them for you too. They're providing several different displays, as well as several different boards. By the way, I'm bringing my toys here, so if anyone of you is interested, we can demonstrate, Philip and I can demonstrate you how this tablet works, and as well as the laptop with the Motorola laptop. Okay, I'll repeat the question. It's about this, again, about this this cable. Honestly, I don't know, because I'm not good at hardware. But I guess so, yes. And Philip confirms, so thank you for the help. Okay, thank you very much.